Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com. We are at LaborFest 2017, brought to you by the United Steelworkers, Madison Firefighters Local 311, Teamsters Local 695, and our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. Joining us right now, Andy Waite, who is the elected president of that august body that has stood through the storms because it was built on a firm foundation.
Most definitely. Yeah.
You know, you did something that, frankly, some other unions didn't do, and that was kept reinforcing to your membership the mission and why you exist, right?
Right, yeah. It's all about working together, collectively deciding on action and representing our profession.
And having a city that's supportive of the notion of collective bargaining in
most
a union,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah, that's so critical.
And some elected officials that were not hostile to the notion of collective bargaining. So we still have the Republicans in the legislature attacking any ways for public education to survive, including referendums which have been passing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, if local people want to have their say in what their schools look like, they support their schools. We've seen that referendums passing all over the state. If you're going to have make statements about having local control, you've got to let people have that control, and that's we certainly want to have that.
So just like they're not for fair union elections, you know, what they want, where people that don't vote count as a no vote.
Right.
They literally think that people going to polls at certain times of the year is somehow undemocratic, even when it's decided locally.
Right, yeah. It makes no sense to me that...
You remember when they used to pretend that they were the party of local government?
Right, yeah.
That's rather selective.
Right.
How is... So we've got that. They're attacking workers in that way.
Right.
Have you gotten any sense that they're trying to find any other way to attack MTI through statewide legislation?
We haven't seen a lot of. I mean, we had the idea that was floated by the governor of having the 12% contribution for mandatory.
How could I forget that?
Right. But, which was and it turned out that I think that was really geared towards Madison, but they found out very quickly that a lot of districts around the state had been actually working to lower costs, control the healthcare costs, and at the same time, we're not putting it on the backs of their employees.
Well, again, there's something decided by a local school board.
Right.
Right?
Exactly, yeah. Through Act 10, which mandates that, so there was no other way to do
and
that.
And it's a good deal. It's a good deal for the city.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. It does. And that's where that whole idea of the intent being not what it was stated, right? That it was said that we were going to, address a budget crisis or things like that. And really what it's about is taking that and trying to get at public education specifically around a lot of different ways. Privatization is another way to go at taking control away from people in their public schools.
And do you have contact with other union leaders in other school districts? Can you give me any sense of how teachers are under attack in this state?
Well, you mentioned earlier how fortunate we are here in Madison. Right? We've got a community that's rallied around us, very supportive. Other places where there's been less public support or school boards have been elected, you've seen a lot of very worker unfriendly handbooks that have been put in place.
Explain policies to people what a handbook is.
So a handbook replaced our collective bargaining agreements, and what it is it's, I mean, a lot of people have them in their jobs, right? You get your job and you get kind of the rules for your employment. And they can cover anything from a dress code to salaries, benefits, all sorts of different things are in handbooks. Here in Madison, we very actively worked and got a very good system in place for our handbook to work, that it gets a lot of voices in play and still follows the rules that we have to play by. But other places, they've essentially said, we don't want to hear from our employees at all. We're just going to make unilateral decisions, and that's just not the best way to do things.
Well, it's really, even for companies that are non-union, it's a really antiquated notion. I mean, there's companies like Epic. Do I wish they were union? Yes. But they do have the concept of understanding of listening to their employees.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, and especially when you're dealing with you know, well, any workplace, but where you've got such a challenging environment with education, where you've got so many variables that come into play, and professionals who are right there working with students and would know the best ways to address some of the issues.
It's rare people can name the education secretary, but Betsy DeVos is a... and I was just in Grand Rapids. My God, the DeVos name is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
with all the Amway stuff. What are you worried about when it comes to the Federal Department of Education and Betsy DeVos?
Well, you've got, I mean, not from the Department of Education, but you do have the whole issue around Medicaid, Medicare, things, which actually impacts our students, many of whom are supported through that. So that's one issue on the budgetary front. But from the Secretary of Education, the big one is that it's just fascinating, troubling that you have a Secretary of Education who's in place who actively would want to change our public school system to a private school system. And you know, public schools are the cornerstone of our communities. They're places where you know, you think about small towns, even larger communities, where that school is the central point where people rally around, public accountability through elected school boards. Taking all that away, and you have situations that come about where you know, you can just start up a school, you don't have to follow the same rules, leave students in the lurch, and we see it happen all the time. You know, think of what's happened in Milwaukee, where they've gone that route with that privatization.
What is going on with some of the debates over charter schools in Madison, and how do you what do you see in the future for some of these charter schools?
Well, that's an interesting one, because you know, the argument for charter schools is that you want to have innovation and you want to be able to address student needs directly. Our argument is that really in a public school setting you can do that anyway, right? That teachers, educators in school buildings have been doing that for years, and we want to continue to be able to do that. So on one hand, the whole idea of needing to create a charter school goes against that idea that your neighborhood public school could actually be tailored to meet the needs of that specific community.
Have we seen the last of the Colleen Care sort of effort?
I wouldn't think so. I would think that there's certainly, you know, and we have to be realistic. We have achievement gaps. We have opportunity gaps that exist in our community.
No, but the model of the school that he proposed. Do you see a proposal like that coming back?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see it.
So something where you're constantly going to have to be on your toes.
Right, right. And they have the opportunity now, and I know that the budget looks for ways to expand that ability to do it outside of an elected school board, right? So I think the instrumentality idea would be something that we would definitely want to continue to have happen, where school districts are able to bring in charter schools if need be, or if they're proposed in a way that would work, where you'd be able to have them be part of the public school system.
You know, it had to be gratifying for you to see, now Ed Hughes, you know, quit the race, but Nikki Vandermeulen and Kate Taves' election this spring. I endorsed them both.
Well done.
Pretty resounding. And I don't have any doubt that Nikki Vandermeulen was going to win that race, even if Ed Hughes had stayed in the race.
Right.
That spoke volumes about the power that MTI still has in this town.
Right, right. Well, and the value that people place in what we have to say. Exactly. You
know, it's not that the other two candidates were anti-education.
No,
But that endorsement, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen it before, but Kate Taves literally put your logo on her yard signs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we really want to, you know, foster that relationship with the school board to be able to, you know, have contact with them, communication with them, and be able to really talk about the issues that are important and advocate for our positions.
So let me ask you one more question. How, under operating under the current law, obviously MTI was probably the last union in the state as far as public employee union operating under the old system.
Right.
Are members sticking with you?
Yes. And we're I'm so excited. This is now my third year as president, which is unusual MTI. I mean, I'm sure having interviewed so many people kind of coming through. We had a system in place where we rotated presidents more quickly, but I'm excited because we've got a opportunity now. I'll be released from the classroom to be able to do union work full time, which will help us as we work to connect with new members. We've got a huge
Andy,
number.
It's the damnest thing. When I went through Madison Public Schools, more teachers retired at the end of a year when I was in their classroom. It must have been a coincidence.
Oh, I can't imagine. Well, the sad thing now, I can't believe it. But the sad thing now is we actually are having more folks resign than retire, which really, and we're having this last freshman class at Madison, the largest ever that we know of as far as new people coming
into
the district.
Coming in.
So it's so important that we connect with them, but also just very troubling that we've got people leaving and we want to keep people here.
Oh, it's imperative you keep them here. Yeah, it's right. The life or death of a city.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Right. Andy Waite, president of Madison Teachers Incorporated. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to you.
And thank you for your support.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. This is SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
You know, we work hard every day. In mills and mines, hospitals and schools, in office buildings, pharmacies and shipyards, factories and forests, in squad cars, ambulances and taxicabs. We do all kinds of jobs in Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all across the United States and Canada. We build the things that build our country. We do things that keep our country going. Support our families and our communities. We have the courage to stand up even when no one else does. We have the strength to fight for what's right, for our families and for yours. We're your friends, your neighbors, your sisters and brothers. We're more than 1 million members strong. We stand in solidarity with workers in every continent on the globe. We're the United Steelworkers Union, and every day we fight for you. Please join our fight. Visit usw.org or like us at facebook.com/steelworkers.